Namaste. Meditation is the process of making friends with death. The ego is the enemy of death. It's afraid of death. And it experiences death as an event horizon, as an event which ends its existence. But the yogi recognizes that death is not an event, but a passage to a state of eternal life that transcends the duality of life and death. And once one has passed through that event horizon, then what happens in the phenomenal plane is no longer something that can be taken with the same seriousness. It will no longer be approached with the same desperation or fear and flight from the inevitable. But then one joins God in the recognition that this is lila, the cosmic play, and that the event of death is simply one move in that game. But the game transcends any particular moment or scenario or even cycle of planetary existence. The game has far greater stakes than anything the ego can imagine playing for. The ego can't even get into the game. It doesn't have enough capital to get into the real game until it has passed the barrier of death. Because the capital involved in playing the game of life is love. And true love cannot be attained until one has passed through the fear of death. Because until then, one will be grasping, one will be holding on to the other for security out of desperation rather than giving out of the fullness of the peace that passeth understanding, because it passeth the understanding of the ego's recognition of its true being. And therefore, it's trying to make up for that lack of the fullness that transcends biological life, and to try to grab as many crumbs of pleasure as it can before it goes down. But each crumb becomes an indigestible piece of suffering. And when one fasts from those crumbs of pseudo-pleasure that are an attempt to flee from death, then one can sit at the banquet of God and experience the delight of peace, serenity, equanimity, luminosity, and liberation from all the egoic urges and drives and games and pathologies, vexations that disturb our lives. So we make friends with death. And when we do that, we realize the truth of one of the yogis' names for God, which is Mahakal, the great death. It's one of the names given to Shiva. And this name really means the death of death. There's a poem by a Western poet, I think it's John Donne, who says, "O death, thou shalt lose thy sting." But how, when we realize that death is actually the kiss of God, not a sting at all? It stings only the ego, that we may be released into the truth of our being. And so when we are meditating, we are practicing dying through letting go and through silencing the mind. But because the ego mind is in flight from death, if we are going to reach death, we have to give up our fear of it and transform the fear into love for the very thing that the ego fears most. And that's why the first commandment in every religion is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might." But the ego can't love God because God means death. And the ego is terrified and in flight from the very source of salvation. But when the ego turns with love to that source and is willing to die into silence, then the flow of love from the very source of our being becomes a wave of tremendous force, tremendous power that washes over us and through us and permeates our being and dissolves the ego and all of its fears at one moment. And this is the act of grace. But it won't happen, because God is merciful, until we're ready for it to happen, until we wholeheartedly desire to dissolve in this love that is the only force that can redeem our essence. And if we one-pointedly hold the silence, either as an act of love for God, or if one is not in a dualistic mindset and one doesn't have belief or faith in God, and it's not an outer God somewhere else but the source of our being, if one can turn within and ask, what is the source of my being? Who am I really? Then, with the devotion to the very question itself, even if there is no love, but the devotion to truth, one will reach the same place. The love will make it an easy journey, whereas the desire for it at the level of truth will require more willpower. But if there is sufficient honesty and courage to face the truth of what we are, and the emptiness and the lack behind all of the false fronts of the ego, we'll reach the same place without any belief, without even any faith that there is something to reach, as long as there's complete honesty. But the good news is that as one faces the unknown, the great mystery within, with or without faith, as one opens to whatever is the truth, the power of that love will be felt within. It will wash through us whether or not we have belief, and the luminosity will liberate us from all the bondages of the ego. But it does require remaining absolutely in search, truthful search, for the source of who we are, for the source of our consciousness and the source of our ability to feel, our ability to know, our ability to be conscious. And the deeper we go into the ocean of consciousness, the fewer are the waves and the disturbances. They're always on the surface. But the deeper we go, the more silent, the more peaceful, the more wise, the more clear, the more powerful the consciousness becomes, until it reaches the source and dissolves from the duality of a seeker to realizing you are that which you have been seeking. And the journey ends in the delight of the realization that you were always that which you were looking for. And along with that realization comes great relief, release, expansion to infinity, and a kind of joy that can never be known by the ego mind, a kind of satisfaction that can never be known by the ego, and the wholeness that the ego was always looking for in the wrong places. And this result is not something that takes time, because time is an illusion. It requires only an absolute intensity of desire and an unconflicted loyalty to the quest. And then liberation shall be given. At any moment that one is truly prepared to be the vessel for all the gifts that are waiting to be bestowed upon you, if you're willing to accept them and be responsible for them, and use them and disseminate them. Because if they were given too soon, before you were able to disseminate them and offer them as gifts to others, then it would become a great burden. So everything is given at the moment when you're ready to make the most use of it. And because now the world is in a crisis for lack of these jewels of wisdom and light and love and empowerment, the world is calling out for those who have access to those jewels to give them. And who but those who are here on a path like this are most capable of becoming such bestowers? But the only way to reach the point where we have something to give is when we have given up being anything separate from God. And each of us has to ask, what is the obstacle to giving myself that ultimate gift? since nothing else has any value, and the gift of the Supreme Consciousness is priceless.